We're listening to Theodore Bickel playing the part of Paul Mendelssohn, younger brother of Felix, Fanny, and Rebecca, telling stories about the family. The music so far has consisted of Fanny's early works for cello and piano, Song Without Words, Opus 8, Capriccio in A-flat, and Melody, Opus 5, Number 4. And this is Into the Light. I'm Catherine Michel. And this is listener-supported Classical 89.5 KMFA Austin, Voice of the Arts for Central Texas. With all this talk about Felix as well as Fanny, I think we should hear a piece or two of his. So we heard a little of his Variations Concertante in D, Opus 17, right there at the end. And as we rejoin Paul Mendelssohn, we'll hear two more pieces, Felix's Song Without Words in D, and later Fanny's Fantasy in G minor.
Felix wrote these variations for me, you know. I was only 12 when we played them at one of our Sunday musicales. It was one of the happiest days of my life. Fanny played gorgeously. Rebecca sang several of Fanny's songs, and then we put on two complete acts with costumes and scenery we designed of Romeo and Juliet. We all laughed so when we first got letters from Felix from England telling us of the way Shakespeare was butchered there. I confirmed his impressions when, at 18, I left for London to learn the banking trade. The level of string performance there was abysmal, too. It was almost impossible to put together a string quartet. Our house, a veritable fortress, protected from outside bad influences, was very often full of distinguished guests. Liszt made the greatest impression on me. Maybe I was 11. He came all decked out in Hungarian national costume, looking wild and handsome. He announced that he had prepared something special for the occasion, and then broke into the most incredible gypsy-like theme and variations, swinging to and fro on the bench. Now that I think about it, Felix tried to get some of that effect copying the cembalom sound in the variations he wrote for us. Well, anyway, when Liszt was done, everyone pronounced Felix finished, washed up. He might as well pack up his bags and leave home. Liszt demanded that Felix play. Felix protested, but Liszt would have none of that. Well, Felix played back what Liszt had just done with all the extravagant gestures as well. We were all frozen in place, afraid Liszt would be furious. Liszt laughed, applauded enthusiastically, and said that even he couldn't manage such a piece of Lisztian bravura. I also remember one other thing, he said very quietly to Zelter. I was the only family member left in the music room. He said that Fanny was the pianist of the family. I have been ailing for several years. 4 years ago, 1869, the doctor said at the most 5 years. I fear they are right. Well, I've outlived them all. I am terrified at what seems to lie ahead, not for me, but for you, dear Sebastian. If you're to understand us at all, you need to understand what I dubbed the hyphen phenomenon. Small, humpbacked, and with a stammer, our grandfather Moses Mendelssohn, at age 14 in 1743, left his little village of Dessau and walked some 130 kilometers to Berlin. He entered via the Rosenthaler Gate, the only gate he could enter. When asked why he was entering Berlin, he answered, "I have come to learn." Can you imagine? The guard on duty that day dutifully logged in his book, quote, "Today passed 6 oxen, 7 pigs, and 1 Jew," unquote. He could not manufacture goods, sell food except to other Jews, could not own land, could not be a portrait painter, had to pay extra taxes for using a Hebrew calendar, even to light the candles on the Sabbath. Still, he was a lot better off than most in Europe. Pogroms in Poland, the still sputtering Inquisition in Spain. Grandfather resisted conversion, and in his remarkable lifetime, because of his writings, became one of the most famous personages in all of Germany. The German Socrates, Kant labeled him. Despite this fame, Frederick the Great gave him the lowest rating a Jew could have. Tolerated Jew. Two steps lower than protected Jew or court Jew. Our parents used to laugh about all the royal porcelain ape figurines that we had. Somewhere near 20. I remember when Rebecca and I were old enough to understand, we had them because Moses was required to buy them to aid German industry. Well, our parents thought by converting, using the name Bartholdi, you see, Uncle Jakob had bought some land on the river named Bartholdi and thought it sounded, what, Christian, upper class? They thought that our lives would be easier. Bless dear Rebecca, she refused to answer at all to Bartholdi. She even signed her name in defiance as Rebecca Mendelssohn hyphen nicht Bartholdi. Fanny didn't like it. Felix dropped the hyphenization, one of the very few times Father grew intensely angry with him. Only I kept it, the good banker, guardian of my family's fortunes. Well, things did get better for a while, Sebastian. But if you think the hyphen hid our heritage... I am fearful. Felix's reputation is being questioned, maligned because of the Jewish problem. For the past 2 decades, ever since Karl Freigendank published his Judaism in Music, where he said, "The Jew has never had art of his own, consequently has never possessed a life capable of having artistic content. Mendelssohn has shown us that a Jew can possess the richest abundance of specific talent, the finest, broadest culture, the most intense and sensitive sense of honor, without ever being able to produce upon us a profound influence." Many say that this Freigendank is actually Richard Wagner in disguise. I don't know. Recently he did say of Meyerbeer, "Jews seem to succeed in everything." I am too old, too hyphenized to fight this fight. Is it winnable anyway?